So you download the Butler Radio News Skill, and then you just simply say, Alexa, what's in the news? Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day. Dave is up next.
Pens kick off their yearly excursion through California on Friday night as they pay their only visit this regular season to the Honda Center in Anaheim, California to battle the Ducks for the second and final time this regular season. Get set for all the action with Penguins Live pregame at 9:30 p.m. and that's followed by the puck drop of the Pens and the Ducks at 10 o'clock on the Penguins Radio Network.
Pittsburgh Penguins Hockey brought to you in part by Cash Dollar & Associates, Thrower Concrete, Monday Shoes, Camisa's Auto Body, Butler Agway, and Schneider's 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning.
We sit, we chat, we educate. It's a program we call Let's Talk. Experts in and around Butler share their knowledge on real estate, natural health options, food, medical issues, jobs, family, and so much more. We're live on the radio, online on our website, and on the free app in your smartphone, also on Alexa-powered devices. Missed a program? Well, catch the segments online at WISR680.com. I ask the questions, they get to answer, and you get the benefit. Join me, Tracy Morgan, on Let's Talk weekday mornings at 11:15 on WISR 680 AM.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Open talk to begin the program today. The phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. A little bit later, we're going to be talking about some health tips, some health myths, snake oil stuff that you need to be aware of, scams. And we'll be talking with Dr. Morton Tavel, medical doctor, MD. So some health tips and myths a little bit later on the program. Also, school choice is on the menu for discussion today. We'll be chatting about that with Andrew Campanella. So those are our guests who will be joining us later, but open talk to begin with, 283-2525. Let's talk a little bit about President Trump's plan for a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. What do you think? Do we need one? Should we build one? And who should pay for it? Things are at an absolute stalemate in Washington over this issue. And as I'm sure you know, into the third week now of a partial government shutdown, the only people that it's really affected so far are those federal government employees who have either been furloughed or are working without pay. Now, they'll eventually get back pay, of course, but that's when it's all settled, and who knows? President Trump said a couple of days ago that it may last for months. He's determined to get the money for a wall. On the Democratic side, the Dems who have taken over control of the House say they're opposed to it, and they're not going to move to forward. They'd like to open up the government and continue to talk about it. The president is visiting the Mexican border today. He's going down there for a look-see. Did you watch his talk a couple of nights ago on TV? Yeah. I didn't watch it either because I didn't think there was going to be anything new that came out of it, and there really wasn't. I mean, he stated his case, which is pretty well defined, I think, pretty well known. And then there was a Democratic response from Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and they stated their case, which pretty well known, I think. and went, you know, was there anything new? I don't think so. But there we sit. Now, things could start to get a little hot as we get a little bit deeper into this partial government shutdown. You know, there's some concern in the long-term future about food stamp money, SNAP money. Already there's concern that people with the Transportation Safety Administration, TSA, the screeners at airports, are starting to call off because they're not getting paid. That's a pretty big security issue, you know, if you start to have trouble with your screeners at airports, right? A couple of things that I don't understand. Maybe you, if you have any insight, you can enlighten me and enlighten us. 283-2525. President Trump said about a week ago, 10 days ago, he had a meeting with Schumer and Pelosi in the Oval Office, as a matter of fact. And he said straight out that he was going to shut down the government. And he said, he was talking to Schumer, and he said, I will not blame you. I will be the one to shut it down. It'll be on me. And, I mean, that's on tape. I've seen it. I've seen it replayed several times. But now he says it's the Democrats that have shut down the government. So I don't know where to go with that. The other question I have, if this is such a national emergency, as the president claims it is, and said in his talk the other night, if it's such a national emergency, why didn't they approve the money for the wall and build it 2 years ago or last year? You know, Republicans were in control of both the House and the Senate and the White House for 2 years. You know? Nobody has explained that to me. I don't see anybody bringing it up to the president. If this is such a crisis, if this is such an emergency, why didn't you do it when you were in control of both houses of Congress? You had the power for 2 years. I don't understand that. And I also have no idea how it's going to end. I hope that it does, obviously. And the sooner the better. But right now it certainly doesn't look like either side's going to back down. Or do you care? Do you care if there's a wall along the border with Mexico? We don't have a wall along the border with Canada. Right? Now, in some areas, there are, well, the Great Lakes, for example, in our area, are the border with Canada. The border runs right through the middle of the lakes, like Ontario, Lake Erie, Lake Michigan, Huron, and Superior. But there are other places across the northern plains where there's no wall, right? There are checkpoints on roadways, highways that cross, but no wall. And if you're crossing into Canada headed toward Niagara Falls, there are checkpoints. You know, you have to stop, talk to the customs people, whether you're going out of the U.S. into Canada or coming back in. But there are other places where there's, you know, no wall, no checkpoint. Right? And the other thing that I don't understand is what are you going to do along the Rio Grande, the river? Because that's the border between Texas and Mexico, right? And I don't know for exactly how long, but it's a long distance. Well, the Rio Grande is the border. So, and to me, this is a simple question. Where are you going to put the wall? Along the Rio Grande. Are you going to? You're certainly not going to put it on the Mexican side. You can't just start building a wall in someone else's country. So does that mean you're? And you can't build it in the middle of the Rio Grande River. So it means you're going to have to put it on the U.S. side, right? The U.S. side of the border. Don't those people depend on the Rio Grande for some of their water supply for irrigation? Or maybe if you're a property owner along the Rio Grande, you just riverfront property, you know. Somebody going to build a wall so that you can't get to the river anymore? Has anybody seen these questions being discussed on TV? You know, you see these talking heads go back and forth, and the Democrats are screaming at the Republicans, and the Republicans are screaming at the Democrats. I've never seen any of these, what I think are relatively elementary questions, talked about. Where are you going to put the wall along the Rio Grande River? Now, if you're out in the middle of the desert somewhere, you know, southern Arizona or southern California, okay, certainly could build a wall there. There are places. There are certain sections where there is a wall. But the Rio Grande? I don't know how you do it. 283, or, and I got to be honest with you, in my circle of acquaintances, circle of friends, I haven't talked to hardly anybody who's concerned about this right now that really gives a hoot. Do you give a hoot? Let's talk about it. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Okay, let's go to the people. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Howdy. How?
I guess I really... It doesn't affect me one way or the other, the border wall. But I have kept up with some of the information, and a couple of the questions that you've asked here right now, I have seen some answers. Number one, the Rio Grande, right, is the primary border between the countries. And as Trump is used to doing, he's planning on taking property on the U.S. side by eminent domain to build a wall. And according to the report that I saw on TV, the wall's unnecessary in that location. It's Mission, Texas. I'm not all that familiar with Texas, but it's right on the Rio Grande. And the people there that were interviewed said, they don't even lock their doors. It's not a problem for them. Yeah, do they see somebody coming across the river occasionally? Yes. But it's not
a
problem.
Yeah, I've seen some videos of that. But my question is, if you're a property owner along the river,
they're going to build a
that's,
wall.
That's prime property.
You
want access to the river. I mean, exactly. You may not go swimming in it, but it's, you know, it's riverfront property. That's always more expensive, you know, riverfront, oceanfront, or whatever.
Very desirable.
Yeah, and, I would think.
The people that I saw the interview, the family's been there for at least 100 years, and they have little cottages along the river, and they rent those cottages out. That's their livelihood, and now... I don't know. Of course, that question remains how that would affect those folks. I don't know.
Well, there's no question that Mr. Trump, you know, this was one of his big campaign issues. Every one of his rallies, you would, you know, see him talking about building the wall. We're going to build the wall, big, big, beautiful wall, and then Mexico's going to pay for it. And he would beg the crowd, yeah, and who's going to pay for it? Mexico is going to pay for it.
Yes, right.
Now he says, I heard him. I heard him say yesterday, or tweeted out, or something. He says, "Well, I never really meant that Mexico would actually pay for it." What?
Yes, that's exactly what he did say.
I mean, you want to pull your hair out? That's just what you said.
He said it all along, right?
he said it a thousand times. Said it 10,000 times, probably.
Oh, exactly. Every rally, and more than once at every rally. So yes, And that's a problem. But the bigger problem right now is these folks who are not getting paid. And, of course, okay, they've missed a paycheck last Friday, or possibly this coming Friday, tomorrow. There are plenty of people who are very necessary. The USDA has people who are furloughed, and they are not checking the food that we're eating. And, of course, that's of primary concern. And as far as Trump saying that this is a national emergency, I don't see that. And he's been questioned on that as far, but I agree with you, too. He had total control of the House and Senate, Republican control, and the reason that it was not put through at that time is because many of the Republicans are not for the wall, and I believe that the Dems should pass whatever bills they want to continue to pay the employees and keep the government running, and pass it on to the Senate and force the Senate to bring it to the floor. Right now, the Republican Senate will not bring those bills to the floor because they say, quote, the president won't sign them. Well, if the president won't sign them, they have a couple of options. First of all, they can let that bill sit on his desk, and after a time, it'll become law without his signature. But I honestly believe that the Senate should bring those bills to the floor and see just exactly what the Senate is willing to do or not willing to do.
Well, that's a gambit, and I understand that the Democrats are going to try that. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has already said he's not going to allow it to come to a vote. But that's the squabbling. I think it's a very legitimate question to ask, well, why didn't you do it 2 years ago? Or why didn't you do it 1 year ago? Republicans had control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. They could have done anything they wanted to.
And they knew that the House was suspect to losing the Republican majority. So, yes, again.
I don't understand. How can it suddenly be a national emergency when, I don't know, if somebody can explain that to me, that's fine. Maybe I'm just not seeing something, but you could have done it any time over the last 2 years.
Sure.
If you wanted to.
The other problem, of course, is that they're trying to put too much together in one bill. They need to pass individual bills for the government to get the government funded, and then put immigration and the wall. Separate that, have hearings, and go through the normal procedures and move on.
I'm no immigration expert, and I'm certainly not an expert in law, but I've said for years, if you want to solve the immigration problem, and heck, I don't want a whole lot of illegal immigrants flooding into the country either.
Right.
But we could very simply require companies and state governments to demand a proof of citizenship,
right.
if you want to get a job, whether you're picking fruit or whatever you're doing, are you a citizen of the United States? Can I see your citizenship papers? And if you don't have them, you don't get a job. Or people applying for driver's license. I can't understand how people can get a driver's license if they're not a citizen.
And
what papers do they, when they go to the California Department of Motor Vehicles or whatever the heck it's called in California, how can you do that? I don't understand.
I don't get that.
No.
I agree with you, and I know that there are several states that have issued driver's license to illegal aliens.
I know.
I'm against that.
Heard it, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it would seem to be, who's going to argue with that? It would seem
right.
to be a simple thing to pass,
And people, otherwise, people who legitimately are here looking for asylum, there's ways for the government to wean those. And who in God's name thought it was a good idea to separate children from their parents? Impossible.
Well, again, I'm no expert, but if I had to take a guess, I think it was a power play, to do that, to perhaps think that was going to force the issue. Both sides are guilty of that, trying the power play here, the power play there. I just think that there's a lot of relatively simple answers to the question that almost everyone would agree to.
And if
the word got out that you needed to have citizenship papers to get a job, go to work here, you needed to have citizenship papers to get a driver's license. It wouldn't take long for the word to get out that if you didn't have those, you weren't going to be able to get a driver's license or get a job, so people would stop trying to sneak in. Why would they?
Sure. But, of course, I understand that many of the jobs that these illegals are taking are jobs that our own population are not interested in. They're low income jobs. Picking fruit is a back breaking job, and if you have an option to get a job at a fast food place, or if you have to pick fruit, well, I guess the fast food place would be preferable, because the illegals who are picking the fruit or making the beds in the hotels and so on, you know, those are jobs that other people definitely wouldn't want.
The answer to that is increase the pay for those jobs until they become more attractive to people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it, too. You know, if you want cheaper fruit, then you're going to have to let the illegals work in the fields.
I think those folks that are here on green cards who are just temporary workers, I'm sure that they are being employed at lower wages. Thanks, Dave.
Sure, thank you. Thanks
great
for the call.
Great talking with you today.
Thanks, my pleasure. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Members of Congress and various presidents, Republican and Democrat, over the past decade at least, have been trying to reform our immigration laws with no success. With no success. Nobody seems to want to, bite the bullet on the thing. It's kind of reminiscent of here in Butler County. You remember how we went for years without a new prison because various county commissions, and this is not any particular one and not any particular individual, but various county commissions wouldn't bite the bullet and decide where it was going to be. Now it's going to be at Sunnyview. Now it's going to be downtown. It's going to be here. It's going to be there. And, you know, they talked about that and kicked it around for years. So finally, one Board of County Commissioners said, it's going to be downtown, and they built it. But it's been the same thing with immigration reform. Members of Congress just they've had plenty of opportunities to work on reform. They just haven't done it. Okay, let's see what more people have to say here. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Please go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. I think Trump wants to be a dictator. All the people, the chief of this and chief of that, they're all quitting. So now all the yes people are going in. He doesn't know much about military operations, and I don't think he knows much about the government either. And I'm not in favor of all these people rushing in, but like they say, they're not just coming across the border. They're coming other ways. And they're not all bad. You know, he makes it sound like millions are coming and they're all criminals, and they're not. Mm-hmm. So I just think he's...
So you don't think we need a wall?
Well, we haven't had one. And like the other lady said, some of these people coming in are doing jobs that we wouldn't want to do. I mean, the farmers probably need these, some of the people that are working for nothing.
Yeah. Okay, I hear you. Good point. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us, my friend.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk at 283-2525. Do we need a wall? Do you think we should build a wall? Do you think Americans should pay for building a wall? Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Oh, this is... I've got a little information for you.
Sure. Good. Go ahead.
If they put up this wall
mm-hmm.
to keep these Mexican people out, your cabbage, lettuce, carrots, red beets, all that stuff, it's going to double in price.
Well, there's no question about it. I need you to turn your radio down, my friend, because we're hearing it in the background there, and it's a little bit confusing.
Man, I'll get away from it.
Sure, that's better. No, you're absolutely correct. The price of vegetables and fruit would go up, and it would probably go up substantially because, you know, the fruit companies and the vegetable companies would have to pay higher wages to make the harvesting jobs more attractive to, you know, to citizens. No question about it.
That's correct.
Yeah. But don't you think that people should have to show that they're a citizen before they can be hired somewhere or before they can get a driver's license?
Oh, yes, I do. I believe it.
Yeah. When I first heard several years ago that there was, and there's a number of states where you can get a driver's license without, you know, without being a citizen, without having papers, I was astonished. Why would you let somebody do that?
I don't know. Apparently California gives them.
I think California's one state. We've had instances right here locally. Oh, I don't know. It must be 7 or 8 years ago, there was a horrific traffic crash in northern Butler County. It was Route 8 and, it wasn't Keister Road, but it's up in that area of northern Butler County where there was a foreign national driving a truck who, you know, didn't know how to read English, apparently didn't know how to read signs. And you have to ask yourself, what in the heck, how did this guy ever get a driver's license, you know? What's going on here? Just seems silly to me.
Yeah, that was at the intersection where Quickfield's at.
Yeah, and there were several people, several members of a family that were killed. It was a horrible accident. And it turns out that the guy was from, he wasn't from Mexico. He was from, I don't know, Romania or some Eastern
European country. Oh, that one, okay, country. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
that was,
yeah.
That was way up north.
Yeah, but he couldn't read English, couldn't read signs.
Right.
Actually, doing driving a truck, for goodness sakes. It's just,
that was a road to come out of Slippery Rock.
Yes, that's exactly it, yeah. But, I mean, that just seems to be common sense to me. It's not, who would argue about that? Democrats, Republicans, have to fight about that. It just seems to be common sense. Thank you, my friend. Good to talk with you today. Thanks for joining us. Thank you. 283-2525, the number. I don't know too many people. I haven't had too many people where this pops up in conversation, you know, around the water cooler that are greatly worried about this right now. Now, we go on a few more weeks, that's a different story, you know, because more and more people are going to be affected. And even those who are going to get their money, you know, some people could say, well, hang on, you know. Yeah, some people have enough in the bank that they could get by past a couple or three paychecks if they knew they were going to get their money back. But some people don't. Some people don't have any reserve. They're living paycheck to paycheck. 283-2525, the number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yes, Dave. I heard you talking about building the wall along the Rio Grande.
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard any information about how they would do that?
Well, all I know is that the Rio Grande comes out of Colorado and comes down through the middle of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Then to the west we have Arizona and California borders. Those are all land.
Absolutely, yes. There's no there's no water there.
There's no water.
No.
It's mainly when it comes down by El Paso and comes down along and into the Gulf of Mexico. So that section, I don't know either what they would do.
That's quite a stretch. I mean, that's almost the entire border with Texas and Mexico.
That's two-thirds. Yeah. Two-thirds of the border.
Well, that's quite a chunk.
And one-third in miles is the other way. Mm-hmm. So maybe that he's going the other way. I don't know.
Well, there are some places along that stretch that you're talking about where there is a wall. Not everywhere. There are some places where there's a wall, but
some
I think
places
parts
there are.
I think around between San Diego and Tijuana or a few places like that.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's just what I was going to mention to you, that it's land a third of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people in Arizona have problems. I mean, that whole state does not have the Rio Grande on it at all.
Yeah, and they've had problems with overcrowded hospitals and so on, you know, providing
right.
health care to illegal immigrants.
Right.
I don't know that anybody wants illegal immigrants. I certainly don't. But
no, I think they should come here. They should come legal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like that I have to buy a passport to go to Canada, but they're letting them come across the border in the South.
Yeah, and passports are expensive these days.
Yeah. You know, and yeah. see everything and go into Canada.
That's an excellent point. And passports yeah. are like, I don't know, $115 these days or something like that. Maybe even
yeah.
more if you don't have one yet.
Right.
That's a very good point. Very good
yeah.
point. But don't you think that if they simply said, okay, to get a job, before a company can hire you, you have to show proof of citizenship.
Yeah.
And if you don't have proof of citizenship, you're not going to be hired. You're not
right.
going to get a driver's license. Well, once the word got out about that,
right.
why would people come? What could they do? Why would they come here?
Right. That's the way I feel, too.
Yeah.
So,
so why don't... Is this difficult? Can't we pass a law that says, you know, you can't get a job unless you can show proof of citizenship? Oh, it seemed pretty simple to me because, you know, that ties into taxes and everything.
Right.
You know,
right.
Social Security, Medicare, income tax, all of that is
right.
tied in once somebody starts working.
And as far as working on farms, what I understand, a lot of those are paid under the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right either.
I don't doubt that. I don't have any personal knowledge of it, but I don't doubt that. Yeah.
So, well, that's all I was calling for.
Well, that's good conversation. By the way, I love your thought about why should they be able to walk across free whenever I've got to buy a passport to go to Canada. That's a good point. Very good point.
Right, right.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks. 283-2525 is our number. We have to take a break, so we'll pause and do that here, and then we shall return with more right after these words. A special message at Christmas and holiday time from the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They would not only like to wish you and yours a very, very merry and holy Christmas and a happy new year, but also to say thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of those who have supported them in their efforts during the past year. Thanks to those of you who donated to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store, to those of you who patronized the thrift store. All the proceeds there go to help fund the food cupboard and the client aid program. And thanks to those of you who donated provisions to the food cupboard throughout the year. And thanks to those of you, too, who donated extra produce from your garden during the harvest season to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Cupboard. Thank you so much. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you and yours from the Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Butler. Merry Christmas to our friends of the Orthodox faith who celebrated Christmas just a couple of days ago. Okay, let's get back to the people today. Caller, you've been waiting patiently through the break. I appreciate that. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yes, I was just been thinking here, and it's actually like him building a wall and everything. It's like we're being held hostage. We're getting penalized for what he's trying to do, and I really don't think that's right.
Do you think that American taxpayers should pay to build the wall?
No, I don't think we should build the wall. But he's basically holding us. Our workers not getting paid and doing things like that as a hostage for our government to vote to build the wall.
It just doesn't
seem right. It seems like Mexico's winning.
Well, the Mexican government, you know, as soon as Trump said Mexico's going to pay for it, they said, what are you, nuts? We're not going to pay for it. What do you think? And they steadfastly refused to pay. They say, we're not going to write you a check for that, you know. It's not going to happen.
Actually, it's just, but I think we should get it voted in there. I build some of the wall, and through the budget of next year and year following, I build some more of it. Get it in a budget where we're not going to burn it all up at one time.
You know, that's an excellent idea. Not only that, but it could be put on a ballot for a referendum question, you know.
Should we build a wall? I've been listening to you. Do something simple like that where we can all vote on it instead of just, we're, you know, right now and we're not getting paid, our government's setting back, or it's just, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, we've got two sides screaming at each other and blaming each other and pointing fingers at each other. I agree with you, my friend. Hey, thanks for calling. Good to talk with you.
Okay, I just don't like being held hostage here. He's holding up paychecks and paychecks for, it seems like the Mexicans are winning, or the wall is winning over over all of us United States citizens.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks, my friend. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Sure. 283-2525, open talk. Hi, caller. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I have a friend that works for a lawn service company in the summer, and they get Mexicans up here to work. It's supposed to be legal. They have them live all in one house, and they pay the rent, and they probably pay them practically nothing. And they are Trump people, Trumpites. So they would have to have driver's license. How do you work for a lawn service if you do not have a driver's license? You couldn't drive trucks or, you know, stuff like that.
I don't know whether Pennsylvania requires that or not. I'm not sure.
I think we're lost. And you know that your president, and or not yours, and he's not mine either, but some people's president doesn't care that these people... He tells them to either get a lawyer to handle a bankruptcy if they don't get paid, or they sent letters out to the people who aren't getting paid that some of the things they could do, take up babysitting part-time and do this part-time. This is what he's telling these people, because he never did without anything in his whole life. I don't know what's going to happen to make the people that voted for him rebel, but I don't think anything. I think it's right. He could shoot somebody in the middle of the White House or in the middle of Washington or New York. Nothing would ever be done with him.
All right, my friend. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. That's what we do here. Good to talk with you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some health tips and medical myths with Dr. Morton Tavel, medical doctor. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
If you're thinking about buying a car, truck, or SUV, or even if you just bought one, make sure you check out the great rates at Armco Credit Union. Through February 28th, you can get a 60-month loan on new and used vehicles for as low as 2.24 annual percentage rate. We'll even refinance your loan from another financial institution. It's never been easier to join, so call today for other rates and terms, or visit us at armcocu.com to become a member. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Coming up, listeners, I think going to be a very interesting segment of the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be chatting with Dr. Morton Tavel, MD, about a book entitled Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks, A Physician's Advice health information to liberate us from snake oil. Dr. Tavel, nice to have you with us here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Snake oil. Boy, that's a term that we saw back in those Western movies, you know, way back in the 1800s.
You're absolutely right. That's where it came from, and that's still with us.
Well, there are a lot of myths and conflicting information that we get about our health today, and that's what you've addressed in your book. One thing that always confuses me, which foods are safe to eat and which foods are bad for us, that information seems to change year by year, Dr. Tapp.
That is true, and you have to be on top of it to keep up with that. Some of it is genuine, and a lot of the stuff is not so genuine, I have to say. To enumerate any specific examples, some of the foods that are better for us are the ones that we I think generally recognize. Things like fish and lean meat, particularly chicken, those kinds of things are gaining more credibility in the entirety of this whole thing. The one thing that I encountered that's been building in the past few years is the need to avoid red meat, which surprised me to the extent that we need to avoid that. I would say that, let me see what my notes say here, because that's a rather important issue. And that is, let's see, probably it comes from a large study that was done within the past 5 years. And to give the specifics,
While you're searching through your notes there, let me give our listeners a little bit of the background on our guest. Dr. Tavel served as a clinical professor at Indiana University School of Medicine. He regularly taught medical trainees at all levels, talked all over the country, and he's also served as past president of state and local divisions of the American Heart Association. He's a consulting cardiologist for Care Group Incorporated, a division of St. Vincent Hospital in Indianapolis. And we're talking about his book, Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks. So did you find any of that information you were hunting for on red meat?
Yes, indeed. The question is, should we need to curtail red meat? And most of us are aware that red meat, when consumed in excess, is not really a very healthy choice. However, eating more than 2 servings a day raises one's risk of dying prematurely from cardiovascular disease by roughly 30%, which is quite surprising to me. It's estimated that 10% of deaths could be prevented if people consumed less than a half a serving of red meat per day. A single serving is roughly 3 ounces of cooked steak, hamburger, or pork chop, especially hazardous, interestingly enough, or processed meats, such as sausage, ham, or bacon, that should be limited to about 1 ounce at the most every day or two. The likely reason for the production of cardiovascular disease by red meat is not clearly understood, but red meat does contain quite a bit of saturated fat, which raises cholesterol levels and contributes to hardening of the arteries. Other potentially contributing substances include salt, iron from the blood in that meat, and potentially harmful compounds that are created when meats are cooked at high temperatures. Interestingly enough, however, and not very well appreciated, there is a relationship between red meat and cancer. The American Cancer Society has made the following statement, and I quote, "To reduce your cancer risk, eat no more than 18 ounces of red meat per week, such as beef, pork, and lamb, and avoid processed meat, such as ham, bacon, salami, hot dogs, and sausage," unquote. So after careful analysis, they found that the risk of colon and rectal cancer rises by about 20% for every serving of red or processed meat consumed daily, with additional suggestive evidence that the risk may extend to other cancers as well. We don't really understand exactly how red meat does that, but the research is getting more and more firm as far as confirming that information.
A lot of those processed meats
are... Those are very important points that I think needs to be disseminated widely through our society.
A lot of those processed meats...
Maybe not so much the beef industry, however.
A lot of those processed meats are very high in sodium as well, as are, and this surprised me when I found out about this a couple of years ago, canned soup is incredibly loaded with the sodium, is it not?
Absolutely, and that's something that I stressed in the book. The average canned soup contains roughly 700-800 milligrams of sodium, which is quite plentiful. In fact, as much as 1,500 milligrams in some. When you're looking at labels and getting canned soups of various sorts, try to get less than 300 milligrams if it's possible. That's what I would shoot for. And maybe making homemade soup with avoiding sodium entirely might be the better choice if you can do that.
So those are some of the things that we want to watch out for. Some foods may be better than we think, however, and Dr. Tavel talks about that in his book, Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks. For example, potatoes. We often hear a lot of bad news about potatoes because they're high in carbohydrates, but you say they're high in some other good stuff too, Doctor.
Yes, that's right. Magnesium, for one thing, some calcium. They can be healthy. As a matter of fact, if you take them in moderation, the potatoes can be very good. If you don't load them up like a baked potato with all kinds of caloric ingredients, or if you don't eat a lot of French fries, which is not good. If you do eat French fries, you're better off making those with unsaturated oils, which makes it less nefarious. That's the way to go, and as far as that's concerned.
Talk about some of the biggest myths that you debunk in your book. How about these high-energy drinks? We see a lot of ads for those on TV over the past few years. What's in that stuff anyway?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that turns out to be one thing only, and that's caffeine, surprisingly enough, you can get out of coffee, and it's a lot cheaper that way, and the amount of caffeine you get in coffee is more or less determinable. In the average cup of coffee runs about 100 milligrams of caffeine per cup. You can take it all the way up to about 400 per day without any undue nefarious effects. So that's one of the myths that we have to be cognizant of, that those so-called energy drinks, for instance, 5-Hour Energy, et cetera, are just simply given with caffeine. And many of them don't list how much caffeine is in. In each one, they range anywhere from maybe a modest amount to almost none, all the way up to practically toxic levels, 400 or 500 milligrams of caffeine. So this could be a problematic for people who have a hard time tolerating that particular agent.
Mm-hmm. So caffeine can be dangerous if you overdose on it, huh?
Yes, indeed. It can certainly, at least it can create jitteriness and insomnia and things of that nature. And it can, in some cases, aggravate heart irregularities. So it has to be watched out, particularly in people who have cardiac problems.
We hear an awful lot about diets all the time, especially this time of the year. A lot of people try to yeah, lose weight and fail. What really works and what doesn't work?
Yes. Well, it's far easier to state what doesn't work, frankly, than what does. We're all familiar with what doesn't work, and that's most everything, frankly. But interestingly enough, in a recent review, a large medical journal, found that there's various so-called fad diets, such as you might name a whole bunch, like South Beach, low carb, Atkinson, ketogenic, etc., etc. None of them really appeared to be superior to simply curtailing what takes in both carbohydrates as well as fats. Preferably, you should curtail both of those things in just a standard diet. So it turns out that, as a matter of fact, it's very difficult to continue on one of those fad diets for any length of time because usually they're difficult to tolerate. They're not very tasty for a steady diet. So usually people can't do that. And whatever diet you go on, you have to be able to continue for a long period of time because short-term, that doesn't cut it. As a matter of fact, if somebody goes on a short-term diet and does lose weight, they're very often bouncing back up in terms of their weight when they go back on their more usual diet and so-called yo-yo dieting, which can be a threat to health in itself, interestingly enough. In general, however, incorporating more fruits and vegetables provides more volume in any diet, fewer calories, better satiation, and it's easier to follow. And the so-called Mediterranean diet is one example of a pretty good plant-based diet plan which can help with weight loss. It may not in itself be able to do that, but it helps. This diet is, as I said, abundant with plants, nuts, vegetables, and olive oil, which is a good oil, and also with fish and smaller amounts of poultry and dairy. This kind of diet is useful for both controlling heart disease and even cancer, interestingly enough. I should also add, in closing, eliminating sugary drinks is helpful for weight control. That's extremely important to avoid not only sugary drinks, but interestingly enough, so-called diet drinks are not really conducive to losing weight either. It's been shown through numerous studies that these things don't result in a successful weight reduction, and the reason for that is not clear. They may be fooling the brain into thinking you're having some calories and then you get hungry later. We're not sure, but that's not the way to go. I would recommend just plain old water or even soda water if you like that better, or even unsweetened tea. I would also mention in passing that so-called dietary supplements that are recommended to cause you to lose weight are also uniformly unsuccessful. They just don't work.
We have to take a quick break. We still want to talk about, if we have time, flu shots, the common cold, allergies. We'll pick up our conversation with Dr. Morton Tavel here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They package your items for shipping. It's so convenient, so easy. You can ship FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service, your choice, but they'll package them up for you. They also have copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox, pick up a lottery ticket, a greeting card. They even have an official notary. They're open Monday through Friday, located at 140 Shockey Lane. That's in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. It's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. If you're suffering from arthritis, the first step is to understand your treatment options. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit us at TriRiversMSK.com.
Welcome back. The It's Your Turn program here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're chatting with guest Dr. Morton Tavel, who has published a book entitled Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks, A Physician's Advice. Well, let's talk about flu shots.
Okay.
They don't work all the time, but you still recommend them, don't you?
Absolutely. I'm really in 100% of the time I recommend them. They don't necessarily work 100% of the time, but I recommend them 100% of the time. And they are, it brings up another couple of points relative to immunization in general. I think most people are aware, maybe they aren't, that back in the late 1990s, there came out one article that said immunization in general, like the childhood immunizations against measles, mumps, and German measles, was a cause for autism. That's the word I'm looking for. Thanks. that's been totally debunked, interestingly enough. Since that original article came out, numerous other articles came out debunking that, and that was withdrawn, actually. That paper was withdrawn from the journal it was published in, and that individual that published that was eliminated from his medical society, as a matter of fact. It was so controversial. So that has gone by the boards, but nevertheless, the idea of immunization has persisted to this day, with large numbers of people failing to immunize their children against the diseases that should be repressible and were dangerous to our parents and grandparents, and they're coming back, some of them in more virulent form, like measles has come back even more serious than it was originally. So flu shots, among others, are very important. They may not be 100% effective. They sometimes aren't, but in the particularly the very young and the older individuals, our senior citizens should have those on a yearly basis. And even if you do happen to get flu after having had a shot, the flu that you get is apt to be attenuated and much less severe than otherwise. So I would strongly recommend those on a yearly basis.
How do we get rid of the common cold, Dr. Tavel, the common cold?
Well, common cold is is something that that we all have to realize that we have to live with. There is no cure. This is a viral illness, and it has no, up to this time, has no cure. It will, within a week or two, go away by itself. The main thing we have to be attentive to is to avoid doing things that make things worse, one of which would be taking antibiotics. That's a mistake. Antibiotics can create side effects in themselves. They can create allergies, and they also are capable of producing antibiotic-resistant bacteria, which can come back to haunt us later. So if somebody has a cold which lasts for longer than a week or so, or is associated with the development of fever later or cough, then you should see a physician and let him or her decide whether you need a stronger medication and possibly even antibiotics. The usual means to control the symptoms of colds are, I would suggest, just anti-congestants, like antihistamines and nasal sprays, which are readily available in the form of like Afrin as one example, and use of steam sometimes is helpful in mechanical steam producers can be useful to manage symptoms. But the bottom line is hang in there, let it go away by itself, don't make things worse.
What about allergies? What are some of the allergy myths that you put to rest in your book?
There's a number of them, and I could hardly even touch the surface. A couple of interesting ones that fascinated me was one was the idea that you can get rid of allergies and asthma, for instance, by going to the southwest of the United States. And that turns out to be a total myth because there are other things that cause allergies in those regions. And I remember when I was in my medical training, I spent some time in the Southwest spending an emergency room there, and we had one asthmatic after another coming in with acute attacks, and this was in the, supposedly the place where you don't get allergies. And so that's a total myth. The other interesting one is the fact that a lot of people think that their milk allergic. They're allergic to milk, and it turns out if people get like cramps, diarrhea, things like that from milk, usually it's not allergy. It's caused by lactose. That's so-called lactose intolerance, and they lack that what we call an enzyme called lactase, and that can be overcome fairly easily with either milk that doesn't contain lactose, so-called lactate milk, or using lactase pills. So it's not allergy, but it's often misconstrued as allergy. There are a number of others that I could mention, but there are really too many to cover in one session.
Well, our time begins to run out here, and believe me, folks, I've just scratched the surface. There's one other important thing that the doctor discusses at length in his book, and that's breaking down the anatomy of a typical health scam, watching out for things like a product works by a secret formula or something like that. That's a red flag. The title of the book is Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks, A Physician's Advice by Morton Tavel, M.D. Dr. Tavel, he's been our guest here on It's Your Turn. Dr. Tavel, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a delight. I appreciate your questions. They're really good, and you have a good day, and Happy New Year.
And to you too, Doctor. So long now.
Thank you. Bye.
It may be winter outside, but at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, it's time to think spring. Order your asparagus, horseradish, and rhubarb roots and blue and red potatoes by January 31st. Make a plan for berries, grapes, and sub-zero roses, all arriving the first week of April. Stock up on planter trays, inserts, heat mats, germination stations, and peat pellets. Plus, pick up Espoma, organic seed starter, and potting mix, organic fertilizers, and earth boxes, and replant kits. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden at the corner of Monroe and Jefferson Streets in Butler.
Hey, high school juniors, how would you like a free trip to Washington, D.C.? Central Electric Cooperative's Youth Tour is an all-expense-paid, week-long chance for you to sit down with elected officials and experience our nation's capital. You will meet students from across the country and hear from dynamic leaders. Bottom line, you will make friendships that last a lifetime and be part of a group that has more than 50,000 alumni, including U.S. senators and CEOs. Youth Tour 2019 is from June 16 to 21 and is open to juniors residing in a home receiving electric from Central Electric. Interested students must complete application requirements before January 18. For details, visit www.central.coop. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. My name is Renee Tritton, and I make safety a top priority because I want to be here for all of my daughter's big life moments. Why do you? This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.